is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
Come on, Judah! Come on, Judah! Come on, Judah!
God, it's growing week by week. So we thank God that from this pulpit, the word of God goes throughout the earth. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell somebody it will accomplish what it is set forth to do. We just have to be foolish enough to preach it. Yes. The Bible says it's through the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel that some are saved. Amen. Because listen, when you speak the word of God to the folk in the world, I mean, they give you the deer in a headlight look. You know, it's like, you know, they have no clue. But this morning we're going to talk about that a little bit. This morning the title of the message is called Rediscover the Word. Come on, somebody say Rediscover the Word. So this morning I want to begin to speak to you about no matter how far a nation can fall into the morass of debauchery, no matter how far we have fallen, listen, God can raise up a king to call a nation to repentance, and a spiritual awakening can still happen. Somebody say amen. So in the accounts of 2 Kings chapter 22 and chapter 23, you could also read the story in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. We witness the kingdom of Judah that had descended into deep idolatry. Corruption permeated not only the government and the society at large, but also it made its way into the temple and its ministers. There was corruption deep inside the church, if you will. In the midst of the debauchery, God raised up a young king. His name happened to be Josiah, who called the nation to repentance, and a great awakening occurred. God gave them a brief reprieve before the prophetic judgment would be fulfilled. Let me tell you something. Even though they did have a brief reprieve, judgment still came on the nations of Judah and Israel, split at the time. But God did give them a period of grace. How many know we could use a period of grace right now? During King Josiah's reign, which was about a little over 300 years past King David, who was the height of the kingdom of Israel with David as their king, after centuries of idolatry, a rediscovery of the word took place, and during the remodeling of the temple, the Torah, or the written word, the word of God, the Bible, if you will, was buried beneath the rubble in the dilapidated temple. In response to the discovery of the word, Josiah commanded the nation to repent, and he initiated a campaign to dismantle the idols that the children of Israel and the children of Judah had built, while also he eliminated the false prophets. How about that? Now, as a watchman on the wall that our God has called me to in this place and in this hour, I'm absolutely convinced, saints of God, that we find ourselves in a time reminiscent of that era. It's marked by significant biblical illiteracy within our society, even in the church, in our households, in our personal lives. We are living in a time whereby, listen, we legalize insanity and we criminalize truth. That is a sure sign in our culture of biblical illiteracy. On a personal level, for each of us, this lack of understanding, this lack of knowledge of the Word of God, this lack of revelation of God's holy Word often leads to too many Christians living a defeated life filled with strife, filled with turmoil, filled with drama, rather than living a victorious life which is marked by righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and 10, you don't have to look there, but most of you know this verse by heart. It says, the thief cometh to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the devil's job. He has three things on his agenda: to kill, steal, and destroy. Not one of them are good, Pastor DeLeese. That's the devil's itinerary. But we thank God that there was a verse right after that. Jesus says, but I have come that you might have life. Come on, help me out, Bible students. And life more abundantly. But here's the caveat. Listen, the only way that we can live in a life of abundance is if we abide in the vine. If we live a life that's saturated and nourished by his word, and therefore by his presence. And Listen, saints of God, there is an attack of the enemy trying to keep us from his word. And in the case of Judah, the word got buried or lost, if you will, in the temple. So today, the word is also lost in our society. The word of God is lost in a large number, a large percentage of churches, and the word becomes lost even in our personal lives. So we're going to talk about Josiah next week. That's just a little teaser. We'll get to him next week, because this week, as I was spending time in prayer and I was preparing the message on Wednesday, I had things pretty much under control, but then came Thursday and the Holy Spirit just dropped something on me and just wrecked me, all right? So I spent hours and hours just on Thursday, and that's usually not my typical Thursday, but I was obedient to the voice of the Lord. I said, Lord, if this is where we need to go this Sunday, this is where we're going to go. So God wrecked me on Thursday and gave me a word. So listen, that was a tease. You need to come back next week for part two. Somebody say, I'll be there, Pastor. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Hallelujah. We thank God. So, Father, we thank you for your holy word today. Father, we ask that you would till up the soil in our hearts. Father, let your word come forth and bring forth fruit out of our lives. Let it take root that we might bear fruit for your name's sake, Father. Use this tongue, use these lips, every breath that comes from this body, Lord, to proclaim your truth. Father, we ask today that you would transform us even into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask all this in the matchless holy name in Jesus. Come on, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So we're talking about the lost word of God. So concerning the word of God, Jesus himself taught a parable. Most of you know it. It's called the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. And if you could put that first verse up there, we're going to spend a lot of time in the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark. So if you have your Bibles or your phones or your electronic devices, you could swipe or turn the page there. In verse 3, Jesus speaking, he says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop, and that sprang up. It increased and it produced, and some 30-fold, some 100, or I'm sorry, some 60-fold and some 100-fold. Verse 9, this is important. And he said to them, he who has ears, let them hear. We're going to talk about hearing today. Verse 10, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So that seeing, they may see and not perceive. And hearing, they may hear and not understand. Lest, somebody say lest. Or unless they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. So let's pause here. Number one, the Bible said it wasn't until they were alone with Christ did he give them the revelation. Did you hear me, somebody? You might be listening to this message today here in this auditorium or by the internet. You might be hearing the words of some gospel preacher and it just makes no sense to you. So I want to encourage you that if it doesn't make sense to you, you need to get alone with Jesus and he will give you the revelation. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says that when you pray, you should go to a prayer meeting. I'm just making sure you're all paying attention here. No, he says when you pray, you go to your closet all by yourself, you and Jesus alone. And when you are alone, one-on-one with God, the Bible says it's then he will reward you openly. So that begs the question, here comes a stinger, watch yourself, how's your closet time? How desperate are you, is the question. Do you need, not want, do you need to hear the voice of God? How bad do you want to hear his voice? Now listen, I'm all in for prayer meetings. I believe in prayer meetings. We had a prayer forum just a couple of weeks ago. We brought lots of people in the house to pray, and that's a good thing for corporate prayer. But it does not replace your personal prayer. If you need revelation, if you need answers, don't go look for a prophet. Don't go to your YouTube channel. Flip it through. Oh, I need to hear this guy. I need to hear that guy. What's he saying? What are they doing? No. Jesus will speak to you, my friend. Number two, if you're not born again by the Spirit of God, listen, you have zero chance. You have no chance of understanding the mystery of the kingdom of God. Jesus said in verse 12 that we just read, he said that unless you repent and that you receive forgiveness of your sin, you will never understand the word of the Lord. That's why when you see these talking heads and somebody confronts them with the word of God, or maybe you've even experienced that for yourself at some point, when you try to speak truth about gender identity, come on somebody, this is the word of God, this is under attack by the devil. When you try to speak of certain issues that are absolute truth according to this word, they give you the deer in a headlight look. Because they can't understand it. Listen, Jesus made this very clear in John chapter 3. The Bible says that Nicodemus came to him by night, and he says, Jesus, what must I do to gain eternal life? This is what Jesus says. Unless a man is born again, unless a man is born anew, unless a man is born again by the Spirit of God, he cannot see, he cannot understand, he cannot perceive the things of God. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with passing laws to curb people's desires of sin and wickedness throughout the earth. There's nothing wrong with that, because it will have an effect. But until the heart of man changes, you can pass all the laws in the world. I don't care how many guns you try to confiscate, somebody's going to find a rock. Just ask Abel. So here it is. Unless a man is born again, you don't even understand the thing. So if you're watching by this telecast, I'm encouraging you, if you're not saved, to get saved today. Now is the time of salvation. Because the word of God becomes alive. How many of you, when after you got saved, all of a sudden you may have read the Bible before and it really didn't make any sense to you, didn't understand anything, but after you gave your life to Jesus, after you got saved, after you got filled with the Holy Spirit, you began to read the word, and it was like the words were like jumping off the page. I know I shared this in my testimony, but I remember the night I got saved. It was a raucous night, as my life usually was back in the day. Come on, do I got a witness in the house? But see, there was a man from Galilee who touched me. And he says, I'm calling you. And I bowed my knee and I prayed and I got up in my bed and I had an old dusty Bible there and I opened it up and I began to read. And all of a sudden, listen, I heard a voice speaking to me. I actually looked up. I thought Jesus was in my room. I'm here to tell somebody he was in my room. It was just the natural eye could not see him. But honey, make no mistake. I heard the voice of the Lord. I heard the voice of the Lord. My life was radically changed overnight from just one word from Jesus. I was never the same. Never the same. I thank God he set me free. Listen, the word of God is alive, somebody. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It's active. Let's go on through Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. Somebody say the word. We're talking about the word this morning. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So what Jesus is describing here is the wayside. The wayside simply means the beaten path. Have you ever, as a child, maybe walked through the woods or you walked through a park where everybody always walked in the dirt and you see that the dirt just gets beaten down? It almost becomes like concrete. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? So if you sow seed on that beaten path, that seed has no chance. Jesus, what he is speaking about is a hard heart. When your heart is hard, you have no interest in the things of God. Now, I know some of you might be talking to some family members, some friends, some coworkers. Their heart is hard. You keep sowing, but they keep rejecting it because their heart is hard. They will listen. I don't care how, and I tried this, trust me, so it doesn't work. When I first got saved, I had a 20-pound King James Bible, and I tried to beat it into some folk. Come on, y'all with me. I was trying to beat it into some people. I loved them, but how many of you know, you know, zeal without knowledge is no good. I was trying to, listen, their heart had to be ready to receive the word of God. So Jesus is speaking about it. They have no interest. They may have heard the word over and over. And come on, do I got a witness in this house? You know somebody. For years and years, you've been planting that seed, and it will never come to bear fruit because Satan, because of their hard heart, swoops in like the bird and takes away the seed. This is easy pickings for the devil. Now listen, listen. That does not say that there is no hope for the person because Satan took the word away. Here, let me give you some advice. Keep planting seed. Just don't try to beat it into them. Keep throwing the seed. It's just that the hard heart, the hard ground, is going to have to be plowed up before it can receive the seed. Are you hearing me? And listen, how many of you know when you plow through some hard, hard hearts, there's going to be some pain involved? Come on, do I got a witness in the house? Has your heart been hard towards some things before? God had to take that plow and dig deep, and you were crying, please, Lord, please, please, Lord. But he was trying to get his word into your life. So I want to tell you, listen, if you know some folk with a hard heart, don't give up. Don't get frustrated. I want to encourage you to gently keep throwing seed into their hearts. Because how many of you know, some plant, some water. Judah, what's my two favorite words? But God gives the increase. Oh, come on, somebody in the house. Verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, if you've been around church even for a minute, I'm sure you've witnessed somebody respond to a call of salvation. If you've been out on the streets sharing the gospel, you've witnessed somebody respond to the call of salvation. They come to the altar, they pray on the street, they receive it, and the tears of remorse or tears of joy are just flowing from them. And however, as soon as they begin to confess their faith among their family, as soon as they tell their friends that they're saved and they're no longer going to hang out with the crowd, they're just going to, you know, they're going to begin to go to church now and Bible studies on Wednesday nights. As soon as they begin to say they love Jesus, they become ridiculed by those close to them. They immediately stumble and fall back into their old lifestyle. How many of you seen somebody come and get saved and you never see them again? That's why sometimes you've heard me say that just because you say one little prayer, that doesn't mean you're saved. That's deception of the devil. Because we say something, well, they just say one little prayer, you're saved for all eternity, just go live the way you want to live. No! It does not work like that. That's the starting point to say the prayer, but you got to mean it from your heart. There has to be a repentance, a metanoia. There has to be a change of thinking in your mind. There has to be a change in your step. There has to be a change in your mouth. Come on, I'm trying to talk to somebody. Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to obey the things that I tell you. You'll obey my commandments. So if you say a little prayer and there's no change in your life, that word that you heard may have found some rocky soil. Verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Are you hearing me? This is the theme. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, these are the ones that they realize their need for Christ, and they even accept him. They heard the word. However, they're more interested in things of the world. And the world chokes out the word of God. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 4, it says to be friends with the world, meaning the world system, is to be an enemy of God. I don't know. I think I need to say that again. If you're a friend with the world, you're an enemy with God. So if you're real friendly with the world, you better check yourself, my friend. Now, there's nothing wrong with money. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's okay to have money. Listen, just don't let it have you. Because money is a beautiful servant. It's a wicked master. Yay. Verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Come on, somebody say good ground. Good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it. They bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. So if you hear the word and you've accepted it, if the word of God has taken root in your heart, listen, you have no choice but to bear fruit. So listen, church, that is the litmus test for a Christian. Is your life bearing fruit? We're talking about bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking this morning about love and joy and peace and long-suffering, and some kindness should be coming out of your life. Yeah, we're talking about goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. If the word of God has taken root in your heart, this should be the evidence of a godly life. The evidence of the word planted in good soil and that has taken root. This is how Jesus told us to judge a tree. Don't judge me. That's the call of the world today. Don't judge me. Well, Jesus told us to judge. He said, you judge a tree by its, not by its gifts. You know, in the church today, we judge a whole lot of folk by their gifts. If they could play an instrument, if they could sing, if they could speak, oh, we have to elevate them into positions and give them titles and do all these things, yet their life is a mess. Well, I'm trying to help somebody this morning. The question is your life joyful? Is your life, is their life peaceful? Or is it always filled with drama? Do you display long suffering, or are you impatient with everyone except yourself? Are you gracious toward others, or are you always criticizing everything that they do? Why didn't you pick the paper up on that side instead of that side? Is your life filled with kindness, or are you stingy and mean? Are you faithful, meaning do you show up when you're expected to? Are you gentle, or are you harsh or curt when you speak to others? Are you showing some self-control instead of going off about every little thing just so I could say so? Talking about hearing the word, church, and letting it take root in our lives. Now, that's not to say that we don't, that we all have all these attributes down, because how many of you know none of us do? Dead things cut off of us to promote growth in our lives. But here's the question. Do you have more patience this year than you did last year? Is there growth in your life? Is your potty mouth better now than the day you received Christ? Oops. Hallelujah. All right, I got a couple more here, so don't go away. Has the Spirit of God fulfilled the peace in your life, or are you still dependent on some type of substance? You still need to have your little smoke. You still need to have your little drink to calm your nerves. Well, you're meddling, Pastor. That's all right. It's my job description. Is your life still filled with drama today as much as it was last month? Or is the fruit of the peace and kindness and gentleness and self-control ruling your life? We're talking about hearing the word of God and living an abundant life. Mark 4, verse 24, Jesus says, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, this is good here, don't miss this, more will be given to you. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, is going to be taken away from them. We're talking about the word of God. Are you hearing me? This parable is all about hearing and accepting the word of the Lord. And it's the enemy's job. It's Satan's job to prevent you from hearing it. Whether it's by an addiction to social media, you don't have time for prayer. Whether it's an addiction to a television set, you don't have time for prayer. Or maybe the devil's reminding you of an offense that created a bitter spirit within you. And he created a hard heart. And now you're not hearing the word of God. Maybe it's a little persecution that came your way, or a little temptation that came your way, and your desire for things. However he can distract you. Listen, the devil is going to try to distract you from the word of the Lord. But once you hear the word, somebody in the house, you need to act on it immediately. Jesus said to those of you who are hearing and acting upon it, what you've heard, more is going to be given to you. I don't know about you, but I want more. I want more. I need more. Let's jump to James for a hot minute here. Watch this. James chapter 1, verse 22. Josh, if you throw that up there. It says this. Watch. But be what? Doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. How many know God's law, there's liberty? In the presence of the Lord, in the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. And continue, somebody say continues. That you continue in it and you don't forget, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. So if you're hearing the word of the Lord and you're not putting it into practice, you're not putting steps to it. Listen, my friend, you're deceiving yourself. I always say it's one thing to hear the voice of the Lord, but it's a whole other thing to obey it. I believe that it's true that the vast majority of Christians who are waiting on God, most times, God is waiting on them. But to those who hear the word and they put it into practice, they will receive more and more and more of the word. The more you put it into practice, the more you hear. It's the law of reciprocity that's throughout your Bible. That's why the Bible says the more you give, the more you receive. It's a law of reciprocity. It's built into the Bible. So the more you get of the word, the more you're going to get of the word. Because God knows your heart, that's what you want. And he's going to give it to you. Jesus said, you know, how you evil men, if your son asks you a fish, are you going to give him a serpent? How much more of the Holy Spirit, oh, come on, somebody, will God just freely give it to you if you just ask him? God is willing to give us his word. Hallelujah. Let's turn the corner here for a minute. If you have your Bible, Josh will throw this up here. We have a verse in Amos. That's not, you know, usual casual reading, the book of Amos, but I got to read a prophecy out of here because I want to tie this into today. Watch. Amos 8, verses 11 and 12. It says, "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord." I just want to rephrase that for a minute. The days are here, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food, not a famine of thirst for water, but a famine here, watch closely, of the hearing the words of the Lord. Did you see that? Verse 12, people will stagger from sea to sea. They will wander from north to east, searching for what? The word of the Lord. But they will not find it. Notice the Bible says not a famine of the word, but a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. In other words, God is still speaking, somebody. The question is, are we listening? Come on, y'all know the commercial. God is speaking. Can you hear me now? And I want to especially speak here to pastors and prophets, preachers, because you cannot speak the word of the Lord unless you are hearing the word from the Lord. We cannot speak the Lord, the word of the Lord unless, listen, our face is buried in the word of the Lord. Especially in the days that we're living in, as Amos prophesied, there's a famine of hearing the word of God today. Today in the church at large, saints don't want to hear preaching about repentance. They don't want to hear preaching about sin. They don't want to hear about living a life of holiness and righteousness. They don't want to hear that there's a judgment day coming. They want to hear, oh, just give me my best life now. They want to hear, what can Jesus do for me? What can I get out of Jesus? Where's my blessing? They desire a self-centered, narcissistic, vain gospel. And I'm here to tell somebody, there's no shortage of false preachers that will deliver that message today. Let me break some little snowflake's heart. This Bible isn't all about you. The sooner we learn that message, the better off we are. Watch, 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. We just went through this over our series in Timothy. Watch. It says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. We're talking about in the church, somebody. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, for the time will come. How many of you know the time is here? When people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. We're talking about hearing. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to paths. In other words, God is speaking. Preachers aren't listening. There's a famine of hearing of the word of God in the land today, somebody. One of the attributes of the word of God, and we're going to study this out here in a couple of months when the Feast of Shavuot comes through, Pentecost. Because you know, the Feast of Pentecost is all about celebrating God's word. It originated on Mount Sinai when the giving of the Ten Commandments, and the ancient Jewish sages say the word of God, when it came forth to Moses, it had three attributes. One, it was when it came from the mountaintop, it was spoken in 70 different languages, because there were basically 70 different languages on earth at the time. And the second attribute, it says that when God spoke, it permeated everything and anything. Not only did it permeate every human being on earth, but it permeated every cow, every donkey, every whale, every star, every moon. When God speaks, everybody listens. Come on, somebody. But the third attribute is what I want to talk about here. Is when God speaks, the Jewish sages say that it was the voice, listen, that never ceases. Woo-wee. Never ceases. In other words, God is always speaking. Jesus said it this way, man does not live by what? Bread alone, but by what? Every that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Proceedeth in the original Greek language means perpetual, means it never stops. God, come on, somebody, doesn't speak just on a Sunday morning. He's speaking when you lay your head down at night. He's speaking when you rise up in the morning. He's speaking through the night while you're sleeping and having dreams. Oh, come on, somebody. He never stops. So if the word of God, watch this, Jesus just said, we don't live by the bread alone, but by every word. We live by every word. You follow me? If we live by the word, it's just like oxygen to us. That means that God, our Father, must make an unlimited supply. And it must be available at all times and everywhere. Somebody, are you hearing me? Why? So that we can live. Because we don't live by bread alone. We live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And thank God, fortunately, we have our Bibles. This is the bread of life. God our Father was kind enough to speak through holy men, and thank God they wrote it down for us. Let me give you the scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Here's what it says. It says, we also have the prophetic messages, the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And you will do well, my brother and sister, to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that here, no prophecy of Scripture came about by human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible is reliable. Somebody say amen. You know, there's an assault on the Word of God today. You even have pastors that say, oh, there are things in here that are not true. I heard a preacher this past week. He stands up there and says, well, you can't just always trust on the Bible. You have to move along in life, and you have to hear the voice of God, and you got to have a feeling. Congregation of thousands cheering and cheering and cheering. This is where the church is going today, saints. Now listen, listen, we know that this is going to happen because the apostasy is already underway. Can you say amen? It's already underway, and it's just going to get worse. But I'm trying to tell somebody, your Bible is reliable. Watch this. Just do a simple study of the prophecies of the birth of Jesus. There were more than 300 prophetic words in your Bible that told about Jesus coming before his birth. Here's good news. There's over 900 that speak about his second coming. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, my friend, if you're here today, you're watching by this broadcast, Jesus isn't coming. Oh, yeah, but he is. There is a day of coming, honey, and you can't get ready. Because if you have to get ready, baby, you ain't ready. Now, I know that's not good English, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. You better be ready. Because he will come like a thief in the night. So if you do a simple study on the prophetic word concerning Jesus, you see the unparalleled accuracy in this book. When you look at the prophecies concerning the nation of Israel, you see the prophetic accuracy in this book. I got to read you this scripture. Throw that up there, Josh. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 35 and 36. Check this out, y'all. Ah, this is good. This is what the Almighty Lord says, who appoints the sun to shine by the day, who decrees the moon and the stars to shine by night. This Almighty Lord who stirs up the sea that its waves roar. Here, what? The Lord Almighty is his name. Come on, next verse. Only, watch, if these decrees vanish from my sight, decrees the Lord, will Israel ever cease being a nation before me. So I'm here to tell somebody that as long as you go out at night and you see the moon and the stars and you wake up in the morning and you see the sun and you go down to the ocean and you hear the waves roaring, as long as you can see these things, God will have a nation called Israel. And I don't, watch, listen, from years ago, you got the Babylonians, you got the Assyrians, you got the Egyptians, you got the Greeks, you got the Romans, you had Hitler, today you have Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and Iran and all these other nations. Listen, if you're a member of any of those current groups, you better go outside and look up. Because as long as the stars are in the heaven,
Israel will remain. You will just find yourself in the graveyard of history. Oh, I wish somebody would give a praise to the Lord Almighty God. My. Let me wrap this up. The title of this message is Rediscover the Word. We're going to pick it up next week as we're going to read a sobering prophecy from Hosea. We're going to look at Josiah and how rediscovery of the Word caused a spiritual awakening to an entire nation. But let's not forget, in the meantime, listen, saints, let's not forget to be hearers of the Word personally. Maybe you need to rediscover the Word in your own life. Maybe there's the proverbial 2 inches of dust on your Bible. The first step is to get alone with Jesus. It's the first step. There's no shortcut. Get alone with Jesus. Crack open your Bible, open your heart, open your spiritual ears. Listen. Jesus promised us in his word, the more we hear, the more we listen, the more we move, the more he's going to give us. As I could say, as the psalmist wrote, as the deer pants for the water brook, so, O Lord, my soul longs for you. The manifestation of this will be evident in our lives by bearing more fruit and accomplishing more kingdom work than we have ever had done before. But it only comes through the word of the Lord. It only comes through hearing his voice. If there are things in your life right now that you're battling against, you need to hear the voice of God. You need to bear yourself. Listen, this takes, watch this. How many of you are disciples of Jesus? Let me see your hand. It's not a trick question. Disciple means discipline. You must be disciplined to the word. You must be disciplined in your prayer. We talked about the athlete a couple of weeks ago. You never, these guys, you know, that play professional football or baseball or whatever, they never just show up on game day, say, you know, as they've been, you know, relaxing for, listen, game's on. We got to be ready. We got to be prepared. And it's a daily, you know, these athletes, they train day in, day out, year in, year out. We're just like that, Church of God. We cannot take a day off from the Word of God. It has to be a part of our daily diet, feasting on His Word. Now, in the story of Josiah, which we'll get to next week, we see a revival in the late nation of Israel. It's just incredible. If you have time this week, go read that in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Go read the story. But the sad part of that story, it only lasted for a short time, and Josiah got killed in battle. And then the prophecy did become fulfilled, and Judah went into captivity to Babylon. So here we are, and I'm just speaking, and I'm not trying to draw too many parallels from the United States to Judah, because we've got to be careful with some of that teaching. But there are parallels of every nation, right? Maybe we could get a reprieve. Maybe we could get a period of grace. For what reason? So we could preach the gospel more. That's what it's about. It's not about lower taxes. I don't know who your daddy is, but my daddy owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. We need to live according to God's economy. Not the earth's economy. There's inflation rising. Let God inflate in your life. How about that? Ooh, pastor just said something there.
Now, I'm not saying that we should endorse debauchery. No, I'm not. We need to turn away from that. And judgment, listen, doesn't begin in the White House. Judgment begins in the house of God. We need preachers and lay folks, saints of God, that are willing to hear the voice, willing to stand up at the water cooler at your job and say, no, I'm not buying into that nonsense. Stand up for truth. The devil's trying to steal that word, steal that word, steal that word. Do not let him shut your mouth. Speak truth. How? In love. Not to be combative, but to speak. Listen, it's not a matter when you converse, when you dialogue with folk, the idea is not to win an argument, it's to win a soul. Keep your focus, church. Let's keep our focus. Amen. Amen. Come on, give our God a praise. Stand with me, please.
To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.